Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for September 24th, 2007, episode 43. Welcome back to the Angry Admins Podcast. We've had a bit of a hiatus for the last couple weeks, but we are back in business, and we're going to try something new this week. A little more freeform, a little less organized, hopefully a little more entertaining.
And no uninteresting news.
Yes, that's right.
We have rejected all news this week.
That's right.
Because the news of tech has failed.
That's right. So we'll see how this goes. If we enjoy it, then we'll keep doing it this way because it's really all about us. We don't care about the listeners. We're doing this for fun.
Our sponsors will be very upset.
That's right.
If we had any.
But so we're back. And as always, my name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Nessus.
And we are coming to you from Houston, Texas. Almost live to hard drive. Mm-hmm. This week we wanted to kind of just talk a little bit about using, I guess what I would say, consumer hardware and software in the workplace. We work in a pretty, I would say, advanced robotics lab, and we see a lot of consumer hardware coming in the door to go on to these amazing robots they use, and it just makes me cringe every time I see it happen. And we've both been, I think, fighting, you know, moderately hard to try to change those ways, but we've had a few instances recently that have made us realize that we have lost the battle and maybe the war.
Well, so yeah, they, in our realm, they call it COTS, yeah. Consumer off-the-shelf stuff. And I don't want to say that it's all bad, because if you just want to try something quickly or just do like a proof of concept,
right?
Or if you have an emergency, like, oh my gosh, I got something happening in 2 hours, what am I going to do? Well, let me just go get a little plastic thing, mm-hmm. and take mm-hmm. care of it, you know. But as far as long-term, as far as reliability, as far as security, and we'll dive into these things, I'm not a big proponent of using consumer home goods for IT resources at work.
Right.
So I guess we'll get started with a couple of examples of this.
Yeah.
So recently, I guess one thing, well, let's start with today, and we'll work backwards.
There we go.
Through the innards of time. So today, there is a game PC. And that is actually the name of the company.
So already a bad start for work.
Yeah. So if you look up Game PC, they have a, I guess they're kind of like Falcon. So mm-hmm. you call them, you say, I want a machine that looks like this, and I want it to do this, and I want it to have this stuff on it, in mm-hmm. it, and you know they configure it and build it and ship it to you. So this is kind of a rack mount PC thing that we got in the mail, and we were supposed to set it up for some test. And really, the thing had it was actually the first time I got to see Red Hat Enterprise 5 in the wild. Looks pretty nice. Looks like the red version of CentOS 5. So it was kind of actually bizarre to be almost sort of familiar with CentOS 5 before I actually ever saw Red Hat 5.
Right.
So, but anyway, it came. It booted up. It was nice. But then the guy calls me down and says, "Hey, that we're having a problem with this thing." And I'm like, "What is this? Where did it come from?" "Oh, well, we ordered it." So they didn't consult me. They ordered a PC with Linux,
yes.
You know, to do certain things, and they didn't talk to me, which, fine, all right, whatever. But now the thing won't boot. So I'm like, oh. So I'm hitting the button. Nothing's happening. I unplug it on the back. Nothing happens. So I unscrew the case, open up the case, and I see that there's a power plug plugged into the power supply mm-hmm. that is totally not plugged in. So somewhere during shipping, that's fallen out.
Right.
I plug it in. It comes up fine. Troubleshooting done, you know. But anyway, this thing today, I rebooted it all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that we had a user on it that was trying to install some software, and every time he tried to start some services, it would crash. And it was just, I can't blame the hardware, because I think it was software causing it. Mm. But it wouldn't write anything to the message log. But it was just one of those cases where we probably could have found something else to do this.
Yeah.
Not this custom thing that maybe would have been more reliable, maybe would have been less expensive, easier to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I mean, I really, this is something that really bugs me. I don't think it bugs Ryan quite as much as it bugs me, but just using, you know, the whole idea of a workstation class computer is that the company backs it. You know, you have a 3-year warranty usually by standard for a workstation, and that means, not only does that mean that you have support, but that means they guarantee parts, they'll guarantee, you know, all these different things over the next 3 years, which, you know, is a pretty good life cycle for a PC. 3 years, and at least in our environment, after 3 years, you're going to need to, you know, revamp that to a new system because it's not going to be fast enough anymore.
Right.
And you know, you want something that's reliable when you're going on this high demand type of situation, and instead they just kind of buy whatever and throw it at us and say, good luck.
Well, the mistake I see is people hitting Dell.com or HP.com or whomever, Alienware, mm-hmm. and they think faster is better.
Right, exactly.
Spend as much as you can. It's bound to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wrong, you have failed.
It might be great for running Windows XP and then running, you know, the new version of whatever, mm-hmm. you know, the next game, but it's not designed to be fast. I mean, server processors are different from workstation processors because they're better at different things. And it comes the same way with the game PC and even graphics cards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They use the same chipsets on workstation and gaming graphics cards, but the drivers are optimized for very different things, you know.
Right. So the other example I had was the... I walked in and... in my office is where a lot of the stuff gets delivered. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it gets ordered and then procured, and then the stuff gets delivered finally, and it comes through my office. And I walk in from lunch one day, you know, toothpick in the mouth, you know, just all disgusting, like job, like I'm all full. I look down and I'm like, what is that? It's a Dell XPS system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their hottest,
right,
awesome gamer box, you know, all, you know, just sitting right there on the floor, just waiting for something to happen. I'm like, I wonder who ordered that, and what is it going to do for us, and why wasn't I consulted, because I would have never bought that.
Right.
Anyway, to make a long story longer, it was kind of by some of the same folks, and it it turned out to be a giant mess because they wanted it to dual boot.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted it to run XP and Linux, and then because of some of the new BIOS stuff Dell's doing, and it just was a giant nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, it's designed to be a Windows machine, so they only test it for compatibility with Windows.
Right. And I mean, I don't know if you can get an XPS preloaded with Linux. I mean, you might be able to, but the thing was, I was trying to dual boot Linux on it without all of Dell's,
right,
special drivers and mm-hmm. BIOS tweaks and all mm-hmm. their proprietary junk, you know, so it was just a giant mess.
Well, and we're not saying that these things can't be done.
Right.
But it's not the right way, you know?
And the other thing, too, is that, I mean, I have a limited amount of time.
Right, exactly.
And I need to be spending time working on, you know, network-wide things, not, I ordered this fancy,
mm-hmm.
you know, workstation that now you got to spend a month trying to iron out all the little issues with
right.
it. When,
right.
if I would have ordered what I picked out, you know, cross my fingers, knock on wood, hopefully it wouldn't have had those kind of problems.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing we should probably explain is we're, you know, we've mentioned this in the past, but we're in kind of a unique situation where we're almost consultants at some level.
Right.
Because, yes, we do the network, and yes, we do, you know, troubleshooting, but we're also there for them to come to us when they, you know, are wondering what to buy, and that's kind of how they've used us.
Mm-hmm.
So when they don't do that, and it's wrong, that's why it really gets us upset, because we know we're going to be spending a whole day fixing something that we could have spent 10 minutes ordering the right thing for.
Right. So, I mean, it is a shame. And the problem is, you know, engineers or, you know, really anybody who, I mean, pretty much every sysadmin probably experienced this in the past few mm-hmm. years when the home routers became
right.
popular.
Yeah.
So suddenly, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry suddenly became an expert on Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
became an expert on networking, became an expert on routers and yeah. subnets. And, you know, you're trying to explain to people, you know, congratulations, I'm glad you have a home router, but here at work,
mm-hmm.
this is the way things really
happen. Yeah. So, I mean, that reminds me of, you know, my first day at this place, and I'm walking around getting the tour, and everything's kind of, you know, it's pretty cool. It's a new place to work, and I'm looking at and they're using something very, very cheap off the shelf to run a very expensive
project. Yeah.
And they use that for the main line of communication to this project.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is a $25 device.
On like a $2 million,
yeah.
$2 million vehicle.
And, I mean, that it was from there I realized that, you know, yeah, they know what they're doing, but, you know, maybe they need a little help. And so we've been trying to get them to switch over to a nicer system that's kind of designed for longer range. And the problem is, because they don't understand it, if it doesn't work, they assume that it's broken, and then they just throw it off to the side and put their system back on.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to use something that's doing NAT, you know, to access these projects, because you want to be able to access each individual computer that's behind it.
Mm-hmm. They're not strong enough software-wise.
And it's just not going to work. So, you know, if you use a more advanced system that acts more like a router, where you can access each individual IP behind it easily without using that, mm-hmm. it just makes it so much easier, and it's so much faster, and you can go longer range. But because it's not their idea, it's like, they don't want to do it so much.
Right. Well, that was something funny, too, because the company I work for walked into their building at one point and went into the secretary's office, then hanging from the ceiling is... I don't remember if it was like a D-Link or like a Linksys, but it was an access point hanging from the ceiling on a coat hanger. And then the wire was like taped to the ceiling tile and then taped onto the wall. And it was this thing where I'm looking at it, and this is a technology company. And I'm like, I couldn't get any of our guys to help you out with that. I mean, and then someone else comes in. And then we may have a guest here in a week or two. He can retell the story really good because he was there too.
Yeah.
But he saw it, and he was like looking at another guy, and then everyone walks into the office, and now everyone's looking up at this thing like just the symbol of our future failure. This non-excellent, $20 COTS thing hanging from the ceiling, and that's our...
That's amazing.
That's our high-tech...
That's our high-tech hotspot.
Access point.
That reminds me, the company I used to work for back home, they were a pretty small company. I may have mentioned this story a while back, so if you're a longtime listener, which I don't think there's any of you out there, I'm probably safe. But I walk in, and, you know, this company has about 100 people, I would say, you know, which 75% of those are salesmen or in a workshop. So, you know, about 25 office people. And they're running a couple servers. And one of the servers was a e-machine running, and this e-machine, not only was it running as a data server, but it was actually running their financial software.
I'm sorry, keep going.
And whoever had set this up had installed a RAID card in the e-machine.
Okay.
Which, sure, yeah, that sounds good. You know, it's a mini tower. You know, this is like the cheap $100 with a $500 rebate e-machine that's about 2 feet tall.
Right.
So two hard drives crammed in there. The thing overheats because you can't keep the case on it, and you have to run a fan blowing on it to keep it from overheating.
Don't tell me it's one of these.
Yeah. So I solved that problem by, you know, not using that anymore, but... I mean, I just don't, you know, these companies just, sometimes they just have to limp along. And I can understand it at a place like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're kind of, they have a tight budget, you know. But.
Well, that was like the pictures I saw on the web last year of the guy who, he was working somewhere and they had like a quote unquote server room, but it had no air conditioning.
Right.
So then he had like an air conditioning rig hooked up.
Yeah.
That was like a regular unit, like a wall unit.
Yeah.
And then he had the hose coming down to a bucket. And then the bucket was overflowing, like running underneath the server.
So he just had like a wall unit sitting in the room? That's awesome.
It was horrible. But it was all this tubing and water and everything was wet. And
oh, man.
A disaster waiting to happen.
It was a disaster.
But so the e-machine server, that was a big success story for e-machine.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That was the only time they were ever productive. A server.
Yeah.
Their new server line.
It just amazed me because it was, you know, it's the little tiny e-machine that's so small that you just can't imagine somebody would think that makes a good server. But, and it was a Celeron, by the way. Intel Celeron processor. Nice. So it was fast. Not at all.
Wow, that's something.
So, did you have any other story?
Well, the last one was kind of similar to what you were saying. You know, you have comms, and we had like this expensive, actually it was a Tropos unit that we were using to do some Wi-Fi with, and they had a problem. They got scared, and they wanted to swap it out with a spare that they built, which they ran to Best Buy, and they got Linksys access points.
Nice.
You know, and this Tropos thing is like, like 4 watts, something like that?
Yeah, they're pretty powerful.
Or 1 watt, or anyway. The
indoor unit, I think, is 1 watt.
Yeah, so they're rated to go pretty
oh, yeah.
They're pretty robust for an access point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they're putting this little plastic, you know, $15 thing on there, and it's like, well, that's great until you get like about 70 feet away, and then it's going to just drop out. So,
or like, you know, something goes between it.
Yeah, a butterfly flies between you and the thing, and
crash, it crashes. System crash.
So, I don't know. I think, like I say, I mean, I'm not totally against consumer hardware, because there is some consumer stuff that we use at work that I do find useful. I mean, there really isn't a professional line of thumb drives, you know.
And
I the external USB drives, those things are a godsend when you're like, man, I need to move, you know, 200 gig of data, and I need to back it up temporarily. I don't want to pollute my server. Mm-hmm. So I got a few of those little external USB drives, plug them in, dump your data, bam, good.
Yeah.
So stuff like that I can see. But, a lot of this stuff, you know, just because your manager or some of your coworkers may have it at home, that doesn't mean that it belongs in the workplace. And the main problems with it I see are, like you say, reliability, support for critical things. It's not going to be there.
Exactly.
You may not be able to find patches for, like, the stuff. Like, it may be built to work with XP Home, and maybe it's not so great with XP Pro or, you know, Linux workstations. And the other thing, too, is security.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to build super security a lot of the things, you know, that are built for
especially the access points. I mean...
Yeah.
Those things, especially, you know, when I first came here, they had some old stuff that they hadn't updated in a while. I mean, because, you know, when it comes out, it's okay, but then they release firmware updates. You know, that's kind of how consumer hardware works. Release it and then fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they were running it pretty much open with no security. Not a good idea for a very expensive project. So, you just got to be careful and pick and choose what you're going to use consumer hardware for. And you don't want to use it on something that if it breaks, you lose your funding for the year, kind of thing. You know, think about if you should use a $25 device that determines whether or not you get funded next year.
And anybody that does keep doing it, the solution to it is you buy one of the one laptop per child laptops and you make them use that.
They're their workstation.
They can crank it as they're responding to your email.
Perfect. Well, that's going to wrap up the show this week. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of Angry Admins. Hope you guys like the new format. It's a little shorter, a little more refined, yet not refined.
Kind of like us. Short and unrefined.
That's right. You look at us and you think, hey, there's somebody I want to get to know. And then you get up closer. Nope, not so much. Anyway, as always, you know, we've got the website, angryadmins.com. We've got a forum up there and, you know, archive of shows. So if you want to hear some back issues, go on the archive and listen to them. We've got them right there for you. But until next time, I'm Joe Bibby.
I'm Ryan Necessary.
And you guys stay angry.